Let's give God some praise for being such a loving God who gives us the opportunity to love him back. Thank you, men. Thank you, Reverend Rowe. Thank you, band, for blessing us through the ministry of music and song. We want to draw your attention to the New Testament book of John, the 20th chapter. And we just want to read verses 19 through 24. John chapter 20, verses 19 through 24. If you're able, won't you stand in honor of the author of the Word of God? On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the applying of this his holy and most righteous word. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father and our God, if you will, we ask that you might let the very words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts to be acceptable in thy sight, for you are our strength and you are our redeemer. Let all the people of the Lord say amen. You may be seated in the presence of our God. I just want to redirect your attention to the 24th verse, which says, "Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came." On this, our 10th anniversary of being in our new church, we just want to hang these words on the hinges of your mind. Don't miss what happens in the house of God. Don't miss what happens in the house of God. Church, when I look at what's going on in our country, when I look at what's going on in our community, when I look at what's going on in our world, I am convinced that the key to turning many of our problems around is in the house of God. In fact, there's no doubt in my mind that the answer to solving the questions of our day are wrapped up in the house of God. But what's been taking place in our society is that we've been focusing too much of our time on the wrong house. For the answer is not in who occupies the White House. The answer will not just come by marching on the State House. The answer is not wrapped up in having one of us sit behind a desk in the courthouse. The answer is not simply trying to avoid getting locked up in the jailhouse. The answer is not in being a lifelong learner in the schoolhouse. The answer is not even trying just to close up the crack house or to tear down the condemned house. But the answer to many of our problems in our day is wrapped up in a special house. Because the house that's the most important house is not the White House, it's not the president's house, it's not the state house, it's not the courthouse, it's not the schoolhouse, and it's not the jail house, but it's the house of God. And the reason I'm bringing this up, on this, our 10th anniversary, is because some of us know what it's like to live in a hectic house. I mean, where we're working different shifts, passing each other like ships in the night. In fact, for some of us, our driveways are becoming more like runways because many of us live in a hectic house. But then, if you're not familiar with living in a hectic house, some of us know what it's like to live in a hurting house. Because everywhere you look, there's hurt all over the house. Our feelings are hurt. Our bodies are hurt. Our finances are hurt. Many of us live in a hurting house. But if you're not living in a hectic house and if you're not living in a hurting house, there's some others of us who know what it's like to live in a hollering house. I mean, because all you hear from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same is here a fuss, there a fuss, everywhere a fuss. Arguments over here, disagreements over there. We've got people that are just getting on each other's nerves every day throughout the day. Some of us know what it's like to live in a hollering house. But while some of us know what it's like to live in a hectic house, and while others of us know what it's like to live in a hurting house, and while many of us know what it's like to live in a hollering house, I'm so glad that there is a crowd that sees the benefit of coming to God's house. That's why David said a long time ago, David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. Now 12 years ago, church, 12 years ago, the new church executive committee, chaired by Sister Joyce Henderson and made up of Theo Rogers, Deacon Clint Sellers, and LaVon Burton, they all got together and they said to those who were coming to Howard County, if you want to get away from your hectic house, if you want to get away from your hurting house, if you want to get away from your hollering house, we've got a plan, because we're going to build a God-honoring house. And what makes me excited about a God-honoring house is when you've got a God-honoring house, I'm talking about a house where you can move without changing your address. When you got a God-honoring house, I'm talking about a house that you can receive a transformation and not just a renovation. When you've got a God-honoring house, you've got a house that glorifies God and serves humanity around the globe. And 10 years ago in the month of September, we moved in and had our first worship service right here at 9055 Tamar Drive. And the reason we were able to come and start worshiping here is because you gave. You prayed, you served, you worked, you sacrificed, you supported, you believed. And after you did all that you can do, while we were doing what we could do, God stepped in and did what only he could do. Is there anybody here who can testify that after you do all that you can, God will mess around and step in and do what he can? Somebody ought to give God some praise today, because God knows how to step in right on time. Now, here's the problem. While God will step in and do what only he can do, too many times we take the credit for what God has done. Too many times we get a case of the big head talking about, look what I I have done. Look what we have done. And while you ought to be proud about our accomplishment, don't take the credit for what God did. Because while we may have influence, and while you may have status, and while you may have prestige, don't take credit for what God has done. Because we didn't get here by ourselves. We didn't get here just because we had money in the bank. We didn't get here just because we had a good strategic plan. But it was the Lord that brought us. It was the Lord that led us. It was the Lord that sustained us. It was the Lord that kept us. Is there anybody here who can testify that it was the Lord that sustained us? It was the Lord that blessed us. It was the Lord that made a way for us. It was the Lord that dried our tears. It was the Lord that calmed our fears. Somebody ought to give God some praise today, because it was the Lord that protected us. It was the Lord that provided for us. It was the Lord that's been good to us. Somebody ought to testify that if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, where would we be? Would you high five your neighbor real quick and tell your neighbor, neighbor, don't take credit for what the Lord has done, because it was the Lord who brought us from a mighty long way. It was the Lord that brought us. And so now that we've built this special house, and now that we've built this God-honoring house, as often as you can, you ought to gather at least once a month for prayer. You ought to gather at least once a month for worship. You ought to gather at least once a month for fellowship. You ought to gather at least once a month for service. You ought to gather at least once a month for study. You ought to gather at least once a month just to bask in the presence of a living and holy God. Because I believe, church, I believe that when you're not here in the house of God, when you're not here for worship, and when you're not here for prayer, and when you're not here for fellowship, and when you're not here for service, and when you're not here for study, you miss something. When you're not here, when God is here, you miss something. You miss what you should offer to God. You miss what you could hear from God. You miss what you can receive from God. And that's why when the word of God goes forth, and when the worship service is alive, and when the work of God is being done, you miss something when you're not here in the house of God. That's why the Bible said that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I will be in the midst. And church, God, when God is in your midst, when God steps into your situation, God is able to turn things around. Is there anybody here who came to give God some praise? Because every now and then, right on time, God will step in. Now, in our text, on the eve of the resurrection, the Bible says that the disciples had gathered together. They gathered together in the upper room in somebody's house. And they gathered because the death of Jesus made them alone. But not only did the death of Jesus make them alone, then the fear of the Jewish leaders made them afraid. But then not only did the fear of the Jewish leaders make them afraid, but then the word from the women that Jesus had risen made them await. And so here they were, church, here they were alone, afraid, and awaiting. And they were all there except two disciples. That they were all there except two. Now Judas had a good reason, because Judas wasn't there because the Bible says that he had hung himself. But the text tells us that on that night, as the disciples had gathered together in the upper room, everybody was there except Thomas. Now, I don't know why Thomas wasn't there. I don't know if he was busy at a Redskins game. I don't know why Thomas missed coming to church that night. I don't know if he had something else to do with some family or some friends. I don't know why Thomas wasn't there, but I do know one thing. I know that when Thomas missed church, he missed something special that was going on. He missed something special that was going on. And if you don't believe me, look what he missed in the text. When Thomas wasn't there when Jesus had risen, Thomas missed the spontaneous presence of the Lord. When Thomas missed church, when Jesus had arose, he missed the spontaneous presence of the Lord. In other words, they weren't expecting Jesus, but he showed up anyhow. They didn't know that Jesus was coming, but Jesus showed up anyhow. See, when they gathered that night, they had no idea that Jesus was coming. They just gathered together. And the Bible says that they were in that upper room and they were shut up and they were locked up when Jesus appeared in their midst. Now, I know that they weren't planning on Jesus coming, because the Bible says that the doors were locked. I know that they weren't expecting Jesus to come, because the Bible says that the windows were shut. But while the doors were locked, and while the windows were shut, Jesus showed up anyhow. Okay, let me see if I can come get you. Let me see if I can come get you. Have you ever had Jesus show up in a place where you tried to lock him out? Have you ever had Jesus show up in a place where you tried to lock him? I mean, you just said, "Don't come in here, Jesus. I'm busy. I'm taking care of my business. And after I finish doing my thing, come on in and have a good time." But the next thing you knew, Jesus buddy into your situation. He buddy into where you were, and he was all up in your business when you were trying to sin, when you were trying to be like Burger King and have it your way. But you discovered that you can't sin like you want to sin when God is in the house. Is there anybody here who knows what it's like for Jesus to interrupt your agenda and take control of your life? And so Jesus, he showed up anyhow. Now, I don't want you to think that I am suggesting. I don't want you to think that I'm suggesting that you can't experience the presence of God if you're not at church. That's not what I'm saying, because the Lord knows that's not true. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that you can experience God. You can experience God anywhere and everywhere. You can experience God when you're home in your kitchen baking bread. You can experience God when you're driving in your car at the traffic light. You can experience God when you're all by yourself. But what I'm saying, church, is that while you can experience God everywhere else and when you're by yourself, I'm saying that you have a higher probability of experiencing the presence of God when you come and gather in the house of God. Because the Bible says that where two or three are gathered together, touching and agreeing on the same thing, if you're on one accord, the Lord will be in your midst. Is there anybody here who's ever experienced the spontaneous presence of the Lord? I mean, you were just sitting in church, minding your own business. Things were just moving on like they normally do. But then all of a sudden, here comes Jesus. I mean, the Spirit got high. And when the Spirit got high, the person next to you got filled with the Spirit. And not only did the person next to you got filled. And not only did you get filled, but everybody on your row experienced the filling of the Holy Spirit. Because when you come to the house of God, when you celebrate the presence of the Lord, you get to experience the spontaneous presence of the Lord in your life. You get to experience the spontaneous presence of the Lord in your life. But church, here's the trip part. When God shows up, you don't know if he's going to show up while the choir's singing. You don't know if he's going to show up when one of the preachers start to pray. You don't know if he's going to show up when we start to lift up the offering. You don't know if he's going to show up when we start welcoming the guests. You don't know if he's going to show up when the word goes forth, but every now and then, Jesus just shows up when his people gather together in the house of God and they start to lift up his name in spirit and in truth. And church, when Jesus shows up, that's when you've got to step back and let the Lord do his thing. When Jesus shows up, you got to step back and let the Lord do what only God can do. Is there anybody here who can testify that when the Spirit shows up, he starts to move? When the Spirit shows up, he starts to direct. When the Spirit shows up, he starts to heal. When the Spirit shows up, he starts to save. When the Spirit shows up, he starts to deliver. When the Spirit shows up, he starts to bless. When the Spirit shows up, he starts to equip. Is there anybody here who came to give God some praise? Because when the Spirit shows up, the Lord will move. And I don't know about you, church, but when the Lord moves, somebody ought to give his name the praise, because we serve a mighty God. We serve a mighty God. And so we know that when Jesus was getting ready to come back from the grave, we know that Thomas missed something when the disciples had gathered together. Thomas missed the spontaneous presence of the Lord. But let me tell you what happened when Thomas did come to church. Because we see what happened when he missed coming to church. But let me tell you what happened when Thomas did come to church. Because the text says that on that first day, Thomas was not with them when Jesus came. But if you keep on reading, it says that on the eighth day, which was the next Sunday, Thomas said that I missed church last Sunday. But after I heard what happened last Sunday, you can bet your bottom dollar I'm not going to miss church this Sunday. I'm not going to miss next Sunday. And when Thomas came to church the next Sunday, here's what Thomas got. Thomas got a testimony. When Thomas showed up in the house of God, Thomas. Thomas got a testimony, because when Thomas saw Jesus, and when Thomas heard Jesus, and when Thomas touched Jesus, all of his doubts were settled. All of his questions were answered. All of his hesitancy had gone away, because when he didn't miss church, he got to see Jesus. When he didn't miss church, he got to hear Jesus. When he didn't miss church, he got to feel Jesus. When he didn't miss church, he got to touch Jesus for himself. And church, when he touched Jesus for himself, then he could testify that when you show up for church, something is going to happen that will change your life. And I just wonder, is there anybody here who can testify that the Bible is right when it says, let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord? The Bible says that when it says, oh, magnify the Lord with me, let us rejoice and let us exalt his name forever. High five your neighbor real quick and tell your neighbor, neighbor, my testimony is that the Bible is right when it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. And I just wonder, is there anybody here who can testify that you didn't just read it in a book, you didn't just read it in the Bible, you just didn't hear it from somebody else, but you know for yourself that the Lord is good? Because if he woke you up this morning, that's good. If he started you on your way, that's good. If he heard and answered your prayer, that's good. If he told your storm, be quiet, that's good. If he helped you to climb up the rough side of the mountain, that's good. If he opened doors that no man could close, that's good. If he saved your soul, that's good. If he put a roof over your head, that's good. If he put food on your table, that's good. If he put clothes on your back, that's good. If he picked you up and turned you around and planted your feet on solid ground, that's good. If he made a way out of no way, that's good. And if he helped us to build a glorious worship center, that's good. Is there anybody here who came to give God some praise? Cause you didn't hear it from somebody else, but you know that you know that you know that you know that God is good. Is there anybody here who came to give God some praise? Because God is good. And when you know God is good, you got to testify that can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. Is there anybody here who came to give God some praise? Because God is good, and he's so good that he can do anything but fail. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? If you believe it, say yeah. If you believe it, say thank you, Jesus. And if you're glad about it, then let's give God the glory. And let's give God the honor. And let's give God the praise. And say hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Because